My original plan had been to kind of share a condensed version of what I've already shared, and it occurred to me between the services that most of you just sat through an expanded version of that, and I wouldn't be telling you anything really new. So instead, I'm changing the plan a little bit. I'm going to share some more specific prayer requests about Uganda and about Kenya and my life here in the United States. And the last few minutes, I'm going to open up and take some questions. I'm going to take a card from Emily's deck and let you guys ask me some questions about things that you would like to know more about in my ministry and in my life. So some more specific prayer requests. If you watch the news, many of you or pay attention to missionary blogs and newsletters, you may know that the security situation in Kenya is not going very well these days. There have been some attacks and some bombings in Nairobi and along the coast. And so we would covet your prayers. The group responsible is called Al-Shabaab. They're out of Somalia. The situation in Somalia is very tenuous, and the Kenyan military, starting in 2009, sent troops there to try to stabilize and keep Somali terrorists from coming over the border and kidnapping Kenyan citizens. And as a result, Al-Shabaab has retaliated by attacking in some areas of Kenya. Thankfully, at Tenwick, where we are out in the Western Highlands, we're relatively safe. There have been no security concerns there. But many of our missionaries travel to and through Nairobi, and so we would appreciate your prayers for the safety of the missionaries as well as for the redemption of this this situation, and we pray that God would work even in the midst of the uncertainty there. And so we would. So the first prayer request is for the security of the Kenyan people and for our missionaries who are there. The second prayer request, as I shared in the first service, the government is not allowing me to be there long term as a long term teacher. However, that doesn't erase the need at Tenwick for a full time long term teacher. As I shared, we have 7 new children coming this within the next school year, and we already know of 3 more families who will be arriving in the fall of 2015. That number will go up in the coming year. There's a great need. Just because a doctor is called to work at Tenwick does not mean that his wife is called to homeschool their kids. And so they are still looking for a long-term full-time teacher, and we are hoping and praying that the next one who comes, the government will look more favorably upon them and understand the need, and that we will take the initial steps necessary to have them approved through the government. And so we would pray for someone to come and fill the role that that is there at Tenwick. When there is not a teacher there, the mothers have to put their ministries outside the hospital on hold and on the back burner while they educate their kids. And like I said, not all of them are called to do that, and it's often a great sacrifice. And it takes away from the ministries that they could be doing. As I mentioned this morning, I'm not really leaving Tenwick voluntarily. It was a life that I thought that I would lead for many years. I love that community. I love the kids, and I love the families there. And so the past month, since we got the news that my work permit was denied, it's been a huge adjustment in my way of thinking and in my thought processes. So I would appreciate your prayers as we continue to process that idea and as I take steps towards working with community health evangelism in Uganda instead. It's a new job and a new way of thinking and a new lifestyle that I had not anticipated prior to a month ago. So, we would appreciate your prayers for planning and wisdom as the missionaries in Uganda prepare to expand their ministries in that region of the world. And we would pray for wisdom and guidance as we seek to partner with local communities and churches and schools. And we pray for just wisdom and discernment as we seek to do that. So, as always, we know that Taylor County is an incredibly prayerful community, and that makes so much difference in the lives of missionaries, and we thank you for that. So those are a few of the prayer requests, more specific prayer requests that I have on my heart today. Do we have any questions about, open up anything I didn't address in the first service? Yes, sir.
Why is the government so willing to open it up for
Well, there is a great need for doctors. However, teaching is a very popular profession in Kenya, and they don't like the idea of an American teacher coming in and taking a Kenyan's job. And I think when I first moved there in 2006, they didn't quite understand what it was I did. It's kind of an unusual idea, you know, helping moms, you know, organizing a homeschool co-op and helping the moms homeschool their kids and teaching. It's not really a concept that is part of Kenyan culture. And so they didn't understand that I'm not really taking the job of a Kenyan teacher. It's not a paid position. I'm supported through individuals and churches here. It's not a job that a Kenyan teacher would want. And I don't think they really understood that. And we have applied several other times, and each time they've gone back to the original decision and just said, well, we can't change it. We've already made our ruling. And so hopefully with a new teacher, we will be able to better explain it and better help them better understand from the very beginning what the issues are that we face at Tenwick. Well, we're appealing to churches, to people like you, if you know of a teacher or anybody who is. We were actually seeking a certified teacher who's interested in working with missionary kids. So, just spreading the word through friends and family and through places like this. We're hoping that God will call someone. Well, we're hoping that if we explain the situation better from the beginning, that they will be more open to it. But that's a good question. It is, and it's a concern that if I didn't get one. They're not sure that we'll ever be able to have a long-term full-time teacher at Tenwick, and that can be a challenge. Any other questions, either about Kenya or Uganda? I hope so. Otherwise, it'll be a long time before I can be an effective teacher. Yes, much of Che is done through English. Well, if you think of anything else, I'd love to talk to you at meals or between services. Thank you all so much for having me back.
But they were so gracious as to give me a few minutes to share a brief update. And for those of you who've never heard me, to get to know me a little bit and to get to know the ministries that I'm involved with in Japan. My name is Holly Molheisen, as I'm sure many of you already are aware of. And I have been serving in Japan, just finished my 2 years, my missionary disciple term, and am getting ready to go back as a career missionary. I was assigned here at camp last year and was one of the designated missionaries, and I got a good opportunity to share, and I'm just really grateful that, well, it's kind of this torn feeling inside. I'm really glad to be here for the 75th, and I really wish I was in Japan at the same time. It's just this tug in my heart of, I wish I was there, and I'm really glad I'm here at the same time. But I have been, the mission is by faith releasing me to go back in September. I do not have all of my support currently in, as was shared. And yet I am trusting that God will do something amazing in these coming weeks. I have a pretty full schedule coming up. And although it's a big need that I have, I need to raise about $2,000 a month in new pledges and support. Yet before I go to be fully supported, God has already begun to meet those needs. You know the old story, how do you eat a whale? One bite at a time? Well, my dad challenged me. He's like, Holly, that's a big thing, but God can do it. The $2,000 a month, that's a big thing. God can do it. But maybe for you, it would be a little easier and a little bit more bite-sized if you just tell people how much you need in new support this week. So I need this week a new $225 in pledges to be on schedule and each week leading up to my departure date in September. But I am really looking forward to going back. Shortly before I came down here, I was in Lexington visiting my sister and enjoying her children, which is one of the blessings of having been here this time and being a little bit delayed in going back to Japan, is to get to know my sister's children. But while I was there, I visited a Japanese-speaking church that was in the area. I don't know, have any of you all heard of the name Dr. Paul Tashiro? He's actually had his testimony put into Our Daily Bread. He was a young man who lied about his age so that during World War II he could become a kamikaze pilot. And the war ended before he was actually able to fly and to become a kamikaze pilot. He ended up getting saved after the war. He actually was one of the professors at Wesley Biblical Seminary for many years, has since retired. Well, He's retired for him, let's put it that way. And he's been very instrumental in bringing many of the Japanese students over to Wesley Biblical Seminary, Wesley College when it was open, and now to Kentucky Mountain Bible College as well. And he's the one who's pastoring this church. And he'd been already talking to his people, these many of them Japanese who are in the States for work reasons, about maybe we should support a missionary. And I got to go and be reminded once again of the Japanese Christians' love for their own people. When I gave a brief greeting after the service, just kind of introduced myself, I tried to do it in Japanese. I apologized to them and told them my Japanese was suffering because I had been in the States for almost 2 years. At least I think that's what I said. I tried to say that because it was in Japanese. I don't know. My grammar may have been a little bit off, but hopefully they got the point. And I got a call later that afternoon. I missed it, and I got the voicemail. Their church had their board meeting, and they wanted to support me. That is the reason that I'm in Japan. It's because of Dr. Toshiro and some of the other Japanese students who are at the seminary, Wesley Biblical, with me, who had such a burden for their own people. And sometimes when you're in Japan, it can get very discouraging because you don't see converts. You don't see new visitors to church. You don't see people. You maybe see some people come in, but then they maybe don't come again, or they think, oh, that's great for you. It's a Western thing. It's an old person's thing. It's not something that's applicable to their own lives. And you struggle with that. In fact, my dad helped me make this little card up. And if you don't have one of these already, I would love for you to get one so that you can be in prayer. Sometimes it's really hard to understand the situation in Japan, how many Christians are there. And so this is a graphic, a visual way of understanding it. Christianity in Japan is at 0.7. That's 0.7. And so my one little red dot represents, out of all the white dots, the Christian in the bunch. But although that's discouraging, we don't want to put non-Christians as those little white dots. Those are winnable people. Those are people who have yet to come into an encounter with the living God, who loves them, who died for them, and who doesn't want them to see them living the lives that they're living without hope, lost. And I'm so encouraged, once again, by the Japanese Christians and their love and their burden for their own people. I almost didn't share the story. I just shared it in my email update about a young lady named Izumi, who Sarah Harriman knows. The first time I really got to know Izumi, as apart from knowing kind of her face and who she was a Bible training college student there in Japan. She had had some schooling here in the States, and so her English was excellent. She'd even spent a couple months in Mexico and had some Spanish that she knew. But Izumi, the first time I really got to know her was when we were hiking up that mountain in Japan. Sarah was leading a team of Asbury College and Ohio Christian University students at youth camp. And Izumi had just had the opportunity of leading one of the girls at youth camp in her room, a junior high girl, to the Lord. And she was just so excited. She's like, this is what it's all about. This is what I can't wait to do. Saving, you know, the Lord saving people right in front of my very eyes and me having a part of that ministry. She was just bubbling over, and she was telling Sarah the story, and I was overhearing it. And it was later, probably a year later, well, maybe 6 or 7 months later, that I began to build a relationship with Izumi. And it's just those friendships, those relationships that I have been able to build with the Japanese Christians, to be an encouragement to them. Izumi and I met together about once a month towards the end there, just to talk about anything. We would go shopping. We got tickets one time, to free tickets to a flower arranging show. I introduced her to Indian food, but just the conversations that we were able to have of what it was like being a woman in ministry, what it was like to be a Christian in a difficult place, and just to be an encouragement to one another. That's one of the greatest benefits and blessings that I receive personally from being a missionary in Japan. I would like you to pray for Izumi and for the others. She's now graduated from the Bible Training College. She has been assigned a church, and she just sent me a Facebook message maybe a week ago saying that she was enjoying it, but it was hard because she was out there on her own. And it was her doing everything instead of her helping the pastor. And so she was kind of making that transition into full-time ministry herself. But be in prayer for the Japanese Christians. It can be very discouraging. In Japan, we do a lot of work along with a group called Emmanuel General Mission, a holiness denomination. And they we work alongside their pastors in their churches, helping them reach out to their community, to the non-Christians, through English Bible study, English kids clubs. We help out with youth camps and things like that. We're involved on a university campus helping their Christian ministry, their Christian club on campus. But especially for the Christians, it can be very discouraging when you're the only one that you know, when you're that one little red dot in a sea of white. It can be discouraging to live out your Christian faith, to not have the encouragement like we have a camp, that, like we have at our churches many times. So be in prayer for them. And as I close out today, I did mention in this morning's prayer meeting about the youth camps that are coming up, especially in August. Early August is when we have most of our youth camps and VBS type of events. Be in prayer for the youth, that their hearts would be prepared. But kind of in addition to that, I want to pray for today. Be in prayer for the youth that will be attending the service tonight. It is Missionary Day. This is not a day about raising support, although that's a part of it. This is a day that we want to see our young people respond to the call of God in their lives, whether that means the mission field overseas, or whether that means walking next door or sharing God with the people at the locker next door to them. Be in prayer that the young people, through the messages they're getting back in the youth tabernacle, or whether it's through Hubert's sermon tonight, that their hearts would be softened and that they will respond to the leading of God, whatever that is in their own lives, but especially for missions, because that's what today is all about. It is sending, not keeping this gospel message to ourselves, but sending it out to the nations.
Thank you so much for coming out this morning, for being with us today. If you have been on a mission trip, if you have served on the mission field, or you have a loved one who has, you know that missions is something you can never get away from. I was listening to some missionaries to China speak maybe 3 years ago. Granted, I've been in Bolivia for 9 years, so I'd been a missionary for 6 years by that time. And I was in my brother-in-law and sister's church listening to missionaries share, and tears are just streaming down my face. And my brother-in-law turns to me and pokes me in the ribs, and he says, "Hey, I think God's calling you to missions." You just can't get away from it. And so thank you for coming and partnering with us in ministry. Thank you for taking the time to pray for us and to invest in us, and to many of you to own this ministry with us. You are loved and you are appreciated. And before I get into sharing with you what God has given me, would you bow your heads and let's pray. Father God, thank you for clearing our schedules. Thank you for making it possible for us to be here together in your presence. Thank you for having so many new works in your heart and mind that you are just waiting for your people to catch a glimpse of and to walk in. Thank you for never being done with us. And God, I pray in this time that you would set a watch over my mouth. Lord, that not a word would pass from these lips if it is not going to bring you glory, and it's not going to edify your people, and it's not going to be of your purpose. Thank you for using us to share your glory and your goodness. We are humbled by it. God, today would you speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you were in the 9 o'clock service this morning, I asked you to step into my classroom for a few minutes, and I gave you a KWL chart, and many of you had no idea what on earth that was. I hope you know now. And if you have any teacher friends, you can take a KWL chart to them and teach them how to use it, because it's a great tool. So in the 9:30 service, you were able to talk to each other, and you learned that my name is Emily Barlow, and I serve with World Gospel Mission, and I teach at Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center, and I've been there for 9 years. You learned some kind of silly things about me, too. You learned that I love to knit, and I love owls, and so I knit owls. You learned that when my toilet continued to overflow whenever we had a rain, I was able to figure out a solution how to temporarily fix it from getting all over my floor. You learned that I love my Lord, and I love the life that He has allowed me to live in obedience with Him. And in this time we have together, I would like to share with you a little bit more about what that life looks like. I'm going to take the first half and share the last 9 years, and we're going to go fast. I followed God to Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center after a long process of being called to the missions. It started actually back in fifth grade in a church camp in Bedford, Indiana, where a missionary from China came as a worship leader, and she shared her stories and she led us in worship. And by the end of the week, I packed my box fan and my sleeping bag and my suitcase into the van. Mom said, "Well, honey, how was church camp?" And I said, "Mom, I'm going to be a missionary." No missionaries in our family. Amazing godly heritage that I have grown up in, but I'm first generation missionary. And so Mom admits now that she prayed it would be a phase. It wasn't. By the time I got to high school, I realized that as much as I wanted to be a missionary, if that wasn't what God had for me, I was wasting my time and His. And so I started to pray that God would make it clear. And the summer after my sophomore year of high school, God spoke so strongly to my heart when I was in Quito, Ecuador, that I knew I was called to missions. I knew that that was His plan and His timing for my life. And so I walked in that, and every subsequent mission trip that I was able to take, God refined my call little bit by little bit by little bit. I joke around that if God had told me in fifth grade that I would be going to a South American country I didn't know existed, with a mission organization I had never even heard of, and I was going as a single woman, I probably would have said, "Thank you, Lord, I'll be a librarian." But God in His gracious mercy shows us what we need to know when we need to know it. And so by the time that I had graduated from Anderson University, I knew that I knew that I knew that the Lord had set me apart for the Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center. And World Gospel Mission had allowed me to partner with them in that. So I graduated from school, I raised my support, and my first year of teaching ever was at the Learning Center. And I have loved every day since. I think I've loved every day since. So what do I do down there? Well, for the last 9 years, I have taught 3 levels of high school English, and depending on the year, it might be a different class. I started out teaching 9th, 11th, and 12th, and then I taught 10th, 11th, and 12th, and now I teach 11th and 12th and AP English. So I just keep graduating up and up and up. But I love the English classroom. I love working with my students. The Santa Cruz Christian Learning Center started out as a missionary school, but as the demographics of Santa Cruz has changed and the ministries in Santa Cruz has changed, we have had to change too. We went from a missionary kids school to an international school, and now if you look at the majority of our students, many of them, Some of the classes, most of them, are Bolivians. And so we are learning what it means to become an international and sometimes even national school that still speaks English, still allows our students to graduate with a U.S. high school diploma so they can go to college in the States, still proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, our primary ministry to missionary families has now become our secondary ministry. And our primary ministry instead has become the national families. And it's a wonderful transition. It's kind of a scary transition sometimes, but it's great. And so in the English classroom, I have discovered now that most of my students are English as a second language, English as a third language, English as a fourth language learners. Let me tell you about the challenges of teaching The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn to someone whose fourth language is English. I don't want to tell you about it. It's such a challenge, but it's such a wonderful time to be able to be with them and to invest in them. And if I can share with you the two different spectrums of my students at the Learning Center, I've got two different stories about the English classroom. First, I'd like to tell you about Gaston. He just graduated this year in May. He is actually Argentine, but he's lived in Bolivia so long that he considers himself a Bolivian. And I was very nervous to get him as an 11th grader. He has kind of a reputation that if you don't know what you're about and you don't know what you are teaching, he's not going to give you the time of day. Have you ever met those kids? That the standard for them to respect you is very high, but if you can get them on your side, you've got them for life. So I was pretty nervous. He came in as an 11th grader. We got to know each other. I spent some time praying for him, even though he didn't know it. He's not a believer. He's been at the Learning Center since he was in third grade, so he thinks he knows all the answers, but he hasn't got a clue. And so, you know, we've been in the English classroom for 2 years together, and at the end of his senior year, he said, "Miss Barlow, I just have to tell you, people ask me, what's the Learning Center really about? We're kind of a weird school. We're the only evangelical Christian private school in the city that speaks English. And so we have just a little place for ourselves." And he says, "People will ask me, what's that school about? What do they do?" And he said, "Miss, when I talk about what we study and what we learn, I have to talk about you. You know so much, and you teach so much, and you care so much. I can't talk about our school without talking about you." And as blessed as I was to hear that from my own heart, I stepped back and I thought, God, he sees your excellence in me, even if he doesn't get it yet. He knows I love him. He doesn't understand I love him because Christ loves him through me. He knows that I strive to be everything I possibly can be and use my talents for their betterment, but he doesn't get why. Yet, I'm not done praying for him. On the flip side, I have a girl who also just graduated this year. Her name is Ha-un Lee, and she is from South Korea. Her parents are missionaries in Santa Cruz. And she owns their ministry. She ministers side by side with her parents, working in the children's program, taking care of her siblings so her parents can do more ministry elsewhere. This woman loves ministry, loves her church, but she was wrestling at the beginning of her senior year, and we were sitting and talking, and she said, "Miss Barlow, I just need to know that God hears me. And that he talks to me. I just need to know it. I don't know it." Would you believe this year, as I had devotions every day, 10 minutes with my seniors every morning, any time Ha-un Lee asked for prayer for something, kid you not, within 2 or 3 days, God had responded. I always pray that my seniors will see God hears them and he answers their prayers, because I feel like that's such an important faith lesson before they head out on their own. I have never seen God move the way he did this past year. And the answers weren't always yes, because God knows what's better for us than we do. But God moved in such a way that she knew God heard her. So I was able to be a part of that because I was seeing it. At the end of the year, she took me aside and she said, "Miss Barlow, I need to tell you, every single day in devotions, God spoke to me. Whether it was a verse you were sharing or how you were praying or what you were doing, God was talking to me." And so she learned this year, God hears her and God speaks to her. And as I listen to my kids bring those stories back to me, I keep thinking, wow, You do so much more than I ever see. You do so much more just because I want to listen to you and I want to obey you, and you take it and you multiply it. And I'm super excited when you give me a chance to see what you do. So that's the English classroom. One more story from that. I have students now who have graduated from college, and some of them are teachers in their own right. And Kaylin Lampin, one of our WGM MKs, she's an adult MK now, emailed me a few weeks ago, and she said, "Aunt M, I find myself doing things like you in the classroom. I will be standing up in front of my kids and I will pull out a story or a mannerism or something crazy, and they'll get all excited and I'll realize that was you in my life." That's exciting to know that it doesn't just stop at me, that when I am obedient to what God calls me to do, God keeps it moving into other people's lives. He keeps growing us. He keeps multiplying us. It's Him. Absolutely Him. But if you talk to most of my kids at the Learning Center, probably what they will tell you before me being an English teacher is me being a theater teacher. I went down 9 years ago and started up the theater program, and we have done so much. We have done musicals as crazy as Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, or even crazier, Seussical the Musical. We have done classical straight shows like A Christmas Carol or Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest. We even tackled Shakespeare, and all of my friends thought I was nuts. We did one of my favorite shows this last term, where we researched and prayed for the persecuted church in the past and in the present. And my students wrote their own pieces based on our research. And we would spend time praying for the church. And we actually ended that night of One Acts in a time of prayer for each other and for the persecuted church. Wow. So cool. So we've done a variety of experiences. I have kids that come in and they don't know what to think. One of my boys, Regan, is a severe stutterer. And so for him to come into drama, when he first started drama, he wanted tiny, tiny parts. Enough that he could practice and make it through and present it, and that was all he was comfortable with. Understandably so. But this last semester for Arabian Nights, Regan nailed his audition. Amazing emotion, smooth speech all the way through. And so I stopped him in his audition when we were done. And I said, "Regan, I see on your audition form you have asked for a small part again. But will you accept something larger if I see you can handle it?" We have this funny phrase that some of my kids swear they're going to put on t-shirts. It's called "Trust the Barlow." And we just depend on it. If they're freaked out and they don't know what to do or they don't know how to handle it, "Trust the Barlow, trust the Barlow." And they start saying it to me now. I don't even have to say it to them anymore. What they don't see is they can trust me because I trust God. And the cool thing for me is when some of them finally get it. Regan performed as the captain of the 40 thieves in Arabian Nights, and multiple other roles because of the way the show was set up. And it was beautiful. And he saw God lead him through the whole semester to get him to that point. Before we have a production night, an actual performance night, we all get together right over left, we circle up, hold hands, and we pray. And it is amazing to me to hear the kids vocalize their concerns and place them in God's hands. And it's even more amazing to me to see at the end of the performance how they have seen God answer their prayers. They watch God infiltrate every part of their life because I let Him infiltrate every part of mine. And we are stronger because of it. But I'm not just a teacher, as if I had more time on my hands, which I do. I spend time with my kids as a mentor, as a counselor to them. Monday night youth group, I am over at the English-speaking church with a small group of our kids. We're studying scripture together. We're praying together. We are loving on each other. We're asking questions. On first semester and second semester, we take two different retreats where I go out with them. And I cannot tell you how many nights I have stayed awake praying with someone or listening to someone who just needed to know they weren't alone. It's my joy to do that. I also mentor typically 2 to 4 girls every year that come to me or I come to them, and we talk about going deeper with Christ, what it really means to sell out for Him, to let Him have complete access of our heart and who we are. And so I meet with them once or twice a week. We pray, we study, we read. They let me ask hard questions that maybe they wouldn't let anybody else ask. And together we grow. And so that's been my life for the last 9 years. And I love it. But I started to notice a change about 3 years ago. I still had the kids coming into my room before school, during lunch, after school. Still had times where I was praying with them and advising them and loving on them and sharing scripture with them. But I started to get a new group of people coming into my classroom. My coworkers. They would come in and sometimes they would just need me to listen. Or need me to pray. And then they started coming in for advice. This is what this kid is doing in my class. How would you handle this? And it was really strange. Because right around that time, as the people that I was loving on and supporting started to shift, my principal, Julie Wilkie, who is also a dear friend of mine and a prayer partner, started saying, Emily, as we pray about a director for the school, my husband thinks it should be you. And I stopped, and she said, are you willing to pray about it? I said, Julie, I don't even know if I'm willing to pray about that. And we talked more, and the cool thing about God is we can start with an idea that we think He has, but the more we seek His face, the more He guides and directs it. And so as we prayed together, it wasn't director that God was preparing me for. It was her job, junior high and high school principal. And so for 3 years, I have been praying, seeking godly counsel, preparing my heart and myself and my resources so that as I pursue my master's of education this year, Lord willing, when I head back next May, the Lord willing is if I'm heading back in next May, I will be stepping into the principal's office. And I am excited about it, and I am overwhelmed by it. And I can't wait to see how God proves His faithfulness through it. You see, I know my heart. I know my weaknesses. I know that I am way too sensitive, and I am tempted to value other people's opinion over God's. I know that I don't like conflict, and yet God is putting me on the front lines. But I know that God has called me to it. I know that He will send the support and the resources and the wisdom that I need to be able to do what He's called me to do. But I also know I cannot even try to do this on my own. I need Him. Praise God, I've got Him. I need you. I need your prayers. For some of you, this is the first time I've ever met you, and I am so blessed already to make your acquaintance. Would you pray with me? Would you take one of my prayer cards, squinty eyes and all, put it on your ironing board above it, put it on your bathroom mirror, tuck it in your Bible, somewhere where you will see every day, and you will pray God's purpose and God's delight and His will over me and over my school? Will you partner with me? Because the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Will you come? As my support group, the people that I was challenging and loving and praying with, started to change. And as God was changing the desires of my heart to head into administration, God opened my eyes. And my heart started breaking over the needs of our school. Holly was talking about needing workers. Lizette was talking about needing workers. I'm talking about needing workers. And there are so many different things that you can do at the Learning Center. Do you know how to knit? Would you consider coming down and teaching my students how to knit or how to crochet? I can give you a couple of hours each day as an elective to be able to do that. Do you enjoy reading and working in the library? We need a librarian. And if you're not comfortable running the library, then we need you to come down and support the librarian. We are short-staffed. Can you sit in the lunchroom and watch kids so that teachers can have 20 minutes to themselves to get things ready? Can you work in the office? Do you know how to file? Do you know how to organize? Do you know how to be a smile as people come in the door? If God calls you to Bolivia, then together we can pray about your perfect fit for that. And we can find where you are supposed to be. There are so many different ministries that WGM is invested in Santa Cruz right now, that the Learning Center doesn't even have to be the whole of your ministry. You could work with street kids. You could work with babies. You could work with youth. You could work with churches and just give us a couple of hours a week. And you would be blessed. Now, maybe for some of you, you're looking at your life and you're thinking, God knows that I'm not supposed to be in Bolivia right now. And I'm not being flippant by that at all. There are times where God is definitely not calling us to a place. Would you start praying that God would connect you to someone else who is called, and that you could be a conduit for that person and me to talk? Would you start asking God for someone that you need to introduce to me or to any of these other missionaries or lovers of missions? Would you ask God what part he has for you to play? And then would you be faithful to walk in it? My biggest prayer as I head back as principal is that I will not be satisfied with raising up good kids. I like good kids. They make my life easy. I have a fun time hanging out with them. But if my focus is on outward behaviors, I'm missing the mark. The much harder task is to raise up godly students. Those who will love the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength, with everything in them. So would you pray for me? Pray especially during this year that everything will come in, finances, that I'll be faithful to the ministry that God has for me here in the States this year. But as May starts to roll around next year and you've got my prayer card tucked away somewhere, would you start praying so hard that every day I will wake up with a godly focus on my heart and that I will not get distracted? Because that's what we're here for. We're here to edify and to encourage and to build up the body of Christ. We are here to make ourselves the bride that Christ is desperately longing for. So let's do it together. If you have other questions tonight, I'm actually going to be showing a short video that is some of my kids talking about life with Miss Barlow. And so I hope you'll enjoy that. But if you have questions, please remember, I'm here till the end of camp meeting. I think I'm actually here till one day after the end of camp meeting, helping clean up some things and get some stuff ready. Would you talk to me? Let's sit together at one of the meals. Let's hang out and I can knit and you can talk and I can listen and we can have a great time together. I'm here for you as much as you're here for me. But I need your help in creating a relationship and investing. And so would you help me out for these last few days to create relationship with me and let us walk the life of Christ together? That's it. Thank you.